casa voy a parar.
Sana Marena,
el Saba de Cuo,
Sana Saba.
Good morning. We are all so excited to be back and to have this opportunity to share with you about our experiences in South Africa and Lesotho over the past 3 months. In that time, we have been learners, students trying to understand South Africa and Lesotho's history, people, and specifically the culture and language of the Basotho people. Our trip is organized into three main homestays: Soweto, a black township; Malealea, a small village in Lesotho; and then finally Cape Town. With such different homestays, needless to say, we experienced many different perspectives, living with white, black, and colored families, which gave us a variety of different experiences. We've ridden in overcrowded taxis, bathed in buckets, and danced in African independent churches. We've lived in the biggest black township in Africa, hiked the mountains of Lesotho, and seen with our own eyes the effect that apartheid still has on the people of South Africa. South Africa is a diverse country with 11 official languages and many different tribes and ethnic groups, but it has one of the largest gaps between rich and poor in the entire world. For those of you who aren't familiar with apartheid, it's a system of racial segregation and ordering that was implemented by the white South African government to ensure the power and superiority of the white race. It classified people into three major racial groups: white, colored, and black. This gave power and control and privilege to the white minority, but led to decades of oppression, forced removals, and poverty among the black majority especially, a legacy that continues today. So South Africa is a region that has borne a complex history of oppression and inequality. The presence of God was revealed to us again and again through the strength and beauty of the South African and Lesotho people, through the still and powerful spirit of the land, and through our relationships with each other and our wonderful leaders, Harlan, Kelsey, and Danae. We hope to share with you now what we have learned and seen, and the experiences that have inspired us, and the questions that have been stirred in us. This is our Sechaba, our tribe. Welcome to South Africa and Lesotho 2012.
Soweto. Soweto stands for Southwestern Township. During apartheid, townships were created to keep blacks away from white people living in the nearby cities. Soweto is home to 5 million black South Africans, making it the largest township in all of South Africa. We were there. For 3 weeks, we were there. We shared daily living, laughs, love, and stories. For 3 weeks, Soweto was home. This is a poem that I wrote as a reflection on our time there. Looking back on our time, nothing hurts more than the realization that things will never be the same again. I remember stepping off the van. The dust glistened in the sun from the glass that crunched under our shoes. The generations have passed on, plenty of history and plenty of hearsay, as listless dreamers learn to pass their time by downing a few. The sun rolls across the sky, catching light on the glass, on the history of the embarrassing past. But you must be proud to be a Sowetan, so Mankono says, because it's where we are born and raised, it's where we'll live and die, wondering, so where to, so where to. Smile here and there, dumelang, dumelang, it's all beginning to blur. Though our time was brief, I remember contentment and learning to slow down and smile and thinking, this is Africa, this is Africa. We were adventurers, curious learners, young ones wanting to leave a lasting impression. Oh, but the dust and the people and that place. Southwestern Township, you will always be looked back to fondly, for as we look forward in our own lives, you have left us wondering, so where to, so where to.
Morning class, take a seat, take a seat. Today we have some very special visitors. They're coming from the United States of America.
Mela.
Mela. We're here to observe your class.
You want to observe a class?
Yes, please.
You guys are really good at English, right? In history?
Sure.
And you know what? I have some stuff I need to get done, but you guys, yeah, have fun.
So there I was, right there. unaware, and unprepared. This has been a pretty typical experience. Teacher leaves, classroom explodes, and we all end up singing and dancing, till I notice this guy eyeing me from across the room. The conspiratorial whisper, and the dance begins. First, we slow danced. Now this I could handle thanks to all those awkward middle school dances I attended. But just as I was about to bust out some smooth moves, I noticed that we were supposed to move in closer. The hugging was nice, firm, but not too firm. And then on our last signal, to my surprise, the boy backed up. Just as I thought my turn was over, he put his finger to his lips and, "What's this?" It appears he wanted me to kiss him. After I confirmed that this is indeed what he wanted, I thought to myself, YOLO, Myla. YOLO. And then I kissed him. Now, notice the chest bumps and fist pumps of the Soweto students. And all of our students are thinking, back away slowly. But it wasn't until afterwards that I realized the true impact of what I had done. I'd made a statement. It was a statement about equality from a white American girl. In this case, a kiss was worth 1,000 words.
All right, everybody, time to go. Say your last goodbye.
Hi everyone, this is Mare, my Soweto roommate.
And this is my roommate Ariel, who quickly became Ari, my Aussie.
So Sotho translation, Aussie means sister, and it was mutual.
How can we assign words to such a rich experience?
Well, we'll try and start here.
We had 12 family members.
4 siblings.
Over 3 generations.
2 separate cultures.
1 toilet.
1 tap.
1 home.
But we really just want to share with you the person who shaped our lives the most in Soweto.
Her name is Dimakatsu, a 29-year-old single mother of 2 boys born from separate fathers. She was our host mom, our sister, and will always remain our friend.
It was through the way Dimakatsu shared the tough realities of her life with us that we grew to love and understand her.
One conversation stuck out to us in particular. It happened one night after a house party when Ariel and I were already in bed. Dimakatsu came over, got in bed with us, and told us her story.
Soon after she started talking, Mare and I were wide awake again. She spoke to us of the hurt she's experienced from men throughout her entire life.
The hurt started from a young age when her father cheated on her mother with several women. This broke up the family and left Dimakatsu with no positive male influence.
By the time she was a teenager, she was seeking her validation from guys who could never fulfill that role. Soon after, the pressure to please the men she was involved with caused her to compromise her beliefs, lose her virginity, and become pregnant with her first child.
From the moment he knew Dimakatsu was pregnant, the father tried talking her into an abortion, but she refused because she had faith that this child was a part of God's greater plan for her life. Upon hearing this, he tried to convince her further by saying he didn't want another child, revealing to Dimakatsu that he already had a life and family apart from her that she was completely unaware of.
At this point, Dimakatsu found herself a single mother by the age of 19. This only reinforced her distrust of men and left her with a broken sense of worth.
8 years later, a similar situation unfolded, along with extensive verbal and emotional abuse, attempted physical abuse, police and court involvement, alienation from her church, humiliation, and continued feelings of abandonment.
So here we were, sitting with Dimakatsu, one son in bed and the other on the floor crying beside us, while we attempted to sort through the flood of emotions and questions that immediately consumed us.
Initially, I felt hatred towards the men in Dimakatsu's life. I was angry that her experience was just one example of what we found to be common in the township culture.
I felt a personal sense of rejection and sadness because I had come to love this woman as my sister, and her pain was mine.
For the hours following that conversation, we were left restless with questions.
Is the lack of positive male influence a product of this culture's history or impoverished societies universally?
And why did she have to fall prey to this trend? She's worth so much more.
What makes these men want to use women instead of love them?
People were created to be loved. Things were created to be used.
But too often society is in chaos because people are being used and things are being loved.
Where is God in this place?
Is he here at all?
Can he restore generations of inequality and broken relationships?
Is it too late?
Can families be made whole?
God, where are you?
But I feel him.
But I see him.
He's in the faces of Dimakatsu's children.
He's in the love that she gave them.
He's the reason we care.
He's the conversation we had.
He's the questions we ask.
He's the ambiguity that we're left with.
And he's the hope that we'll someday find answers.
Our second stop on Cross Cultural was Lesotho, a rural, landlocked country within the borders of South Africa. With more than 40% of its population below the international poverty line, Lesotho resides as one of the poorest countries in the world. As a result, the Basotho people depend heavily on foreign outreach and struggle with access to basic resources such as healthcare, education, and adequate nutrition. Daily tasks become a challenge in a world with no electricity or running water, but are not enough to quell the hopeful and giving spirits of the villagers. Living with Basotho families has helped us all to realize the significance of appreciating life's simplicities.
Caitlin, I have to pee.
We'll use the Midnight Express bucket.
I don't want to.
Yeah, well, we're not allowed to go outside.
Okay.
Did you get it all in?
I think so. I don't have a flashlight.
In the morning. Stupid rooster calls every morning, too.
Well, you want to go see what's for breakfast?
Yeah, might as well.
Hey, Jamel May, Jamel May.
So, what's for breakfast?
Yes!
Oh, my favorite.
Oh, yeah. Well, yes, any day.
Yeah. Oh, May, I'm a little dirty from our hike yesterday, so I was thinking maybe I could wash. Papa, you know, could I get some water?
More food!
What? You know what, May? I'll just get my own water. It's okay.
And I think I'm gonna do some laundry, wash some clothes.
Me too!
Great.
Kevins, and we are roommates in Lesotho. Being in the house that was furthest away from the central meeting point meant that we had more than our fair share of fending off and running away from wild dogs. But dogs were only a small part of everyday life in Lesotho.
Between hiking, bucket baths, or lack thereof on my part, fetching water with a broken wheelbarrow, and rounding up various livestock some evenings, we were kept pretty busy. To top it off, there was a large language barrier to overcome as well.
Trying to mime, "We're out of toilet paper," is not as easy as you'd think. Regardless of the language difference, we found that we could connect with our host family through daily chores, kicking a soccer ball around with our host brothers, and laughter around the dinner table.
Another aspect of the Lesotho leg of our journey was simple living. which when electricity and running water are taken away, hits you pretty fast. This meant that once the sun went down, the only thing left to do was talk by lamplight.
I think we can speak for the group when we say that the more we disconnected from technology and other conveniences, the more connected we felt to our roommates, host families, and group as a whole.
We found that some of the most difficult experiences are the ones that you connect over the best. Our lasting legacy from Lesotho will definitely be the record-breaking 28 puking episodes between the two of us in a 36-hour time period.
I wake up at 4:30 Monday morning to hear my Lesotho host sister preparing to leave for her job as a maid in a nearby city.
On a November morning in Cape Town, I walk out of my room to the kitchen to see a maid washing dishes from the previous night.
She comes back for the weekends, but it's a little uncomfortable since she's gone so much.
She spends a lot of time here, but it's a job and my host parents pay her well.
She really just seems grateful to have work, so I'm happy for her.
The last month of our trip we spent in Cape Town, a city of diversity, of beautiful beaches and seaside mountains.
While there, we took a series of 8 lectures at the University of Cape Town that varied in topic from politics to the environment.
The city's diversity included a tough history between the white, colored, and black communities.
Besides our lectures, our time was spent interacting with our host families and seeing the sights, such as Table Mountain and the Cape Town waterfront. Thanks.
It was at this point in the trip that we saw the greatest diversity of wealth. We lived with the rich, and we saw the poor everywhere.
Experiencing both the extreme poverty and the relative wealth helped us to recognize all the privilege we have here, but it also left us with some unanswered questions.
In Cape Town, I started to ask myself who I have become and how I'm different now than I was before this trip. I know I left part of my heart in South Africa, but the question isn't whether or not our journey will stay with us forever, because I know it will. The question is how we will live differently. This is a question that will never be fully answered, and unanswered questions are woven into every part of cross-cultural. For us, returning home is not an end, but a chance to try to understand the ways we have been changed by the questions. In Cape Town, I was forced to confront the vast differences in wealth between my host family there and my host family in Lesotho. I didn't want to live in a place where my own bedroom was half the size of an average house in Malelea village. And living in a modern city while remembering life in a rural mountainous village made me wonder how we can bring simplicity into a chaotic world. Throughout the semester, we became more aware of race and of the struggle for identity within South Africa's painful history of racial violence. Living with families of 3 different racial groups, we observed the way their lives are still largely untouched by relationships with anyone outside of their racial heritage. But by considering our own lives and communities, we were also led to realize that we are all, in some ways, embedded in racism. We can never fully understand the life of any South African person, but we've formed friendships with people who are black and white, wealthy and poor, young and old. There is no easy way to integrate the multitude of memories into life in America, and even sharing the questions can be difficult. But for the next part of chapel, we've prepared a drama depicting the history of apartheid and racial oppression that we hope will show you some of the questions we have faced.
Oh, yeah.
It's the time for our thank yous, and actually for our first thank you, the group doesn't know I'm doing this, but I wanted to take the time on a personal note to thank our group for all the support and love that was given freely in the past semester. So many times I stopped and looked around me and felt so grateful to be in South Africa and to be with all of you. Rea Sechaba, we are a tribe.
Thanks, Myla. So now we've come to the part where we thank our leaders. No words can really express our gratitude to these wonderful people, but we wrote some anyway.
We would like to thank our beautiful and talented assistant leaders, Kelsey Yoder and Danae Fugley. You have never failed to put a smile on our faces and lend an ear when we were in need. You were and always will be a part of our tribe.
It's been great getting to know you guys. Thanks for all the questions you answered and for all the times you just hung out with us. You guys were great leaders and now great friends. Thanks. Let's keep in touch.
And now, to our fearless leader, the one and only Harlan DeBrun, we say, Rea Leboha. Thank you, Harlan, for being exactly the leader and friend that our group needed.
Harlan, I think I can speak for all of us when I say that we had a blast on this trip. You've given us so many great memories, and there's obviously no way that we can say them all now, but whenever I think of things like Houdini Harlan yelling Moshwe Shwe at the top of my lungs, and let's face it, anytime I hear pretty much any Justin Bieber song, I'll smile and think of you.
Through the hard times of loneliness, physical exhaustion, illness, and discouragement, you were always there to comfort and inspire us. Through the easy times of laying on the beach, seeing the sights, singing annoying pop songs, and even jumping off a 216-meter bungee, you are always there to laugh with us and cheer us on. And you should know, Harlan, everything that you told us about South Africa, about the ups and downs of the trip, and us being in a tribe, and learning to have each other as our support system, you were right about all of it. You were so right. You fielded our questions and always gave us more to think about. You taught us how to live into the questions. We admired the way you interacted with the people of South Africa and Lesotho. No matter what race or age or socioeconomic status, everyone was treated with the same amount of respect from you. We are sad you are leaving EMU, but we send you to Lesotho with our love, knowing that whatever country you reside in is truly blessed to have you. So, if you would come up to the stage, Harlan, and Kelsey and Danae, we would like to give you your Lesotho Survival Kit, which includes one Sotho English Dictionary, edited by the granddaughter of Casalis, missionary to the great chief Masuishwe of Lesotho, who you taught us all about, one replacement Bible for the one you lost in Lesotho, complete with the Hello, My Name is Harlan sticker for easy identification, fruit and chocolate, which was probably the two things our group missed and talked about most often, one mix CD of all your favorite songs, including Call Me Maybe, Girl on Fire, Payphone, and several selections from One Direction and Jay Beebs. And last but not least, a picture of our group so you may always remember how much we love you.
A reoccurring theme of our experience in South Africa was the idea of Ubuntu. Ubuntu is a philosophy of life that values the interconnectedness of people. It's the idea that we are who we are because of the people in our lives. Over the last 4 months, I have come to value the members of our group, our hosts, and both old and new friends as extensions of my family. I am who I am because of who we are together. As we close this chapel service today, we want to encourage you to apply the idea of Ubuntu to your lives, so that as you leave this space, you may remember to value those connections. We're going to have a prayer, and we ask that you hold hands with the people sitting next to you, and don't feel constrained to the pews and aisles and things like that. But we also want to use this time as a sending for Harlan, as he prepares for a MCC term in Lesotho with his wife, Claire. And we ask that their extended EMU family come up to surround them at this time. Please pray with me. Loving God, we come before you so thankful for all the people all over the world who you have given us the opportunity to love and learn from. We admit that we often think of ourselves as individuals, and we forget the power that comes in valuing connections and relationships of humanity. Today, we especially want to thank you for Harlan and Claire and for their work with the people of Lesotho. Be with them as they transition into the new role there. Show them how to build deep and meaningful relationships with the people they work with and sustain them along their journey. We ask that you dwell among each of us today and remind us of Jesus' humble example of Ubuntu in loving all of our neighbors. Amen.